playing golf course.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
You'll be ready too, Victor.
Real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
5 of 6 successful penalties this season for Cristiano Ronaldo. 6-5 Alphonse Areola. Trying to get PSG into the break in the lead. 99 career Champions League goals just for Real Madrid for Cristiano Ronaldo. An even 100, a tie game late in the first half. The early cross, Garcia. Can Pepe do just enough, at least for the moment? It's held in by Luka Modric. Options either side for him. The play for Asensio. Bale overlapping. Asensio takes it himself, takes a deflection on the doorstep. Ronaldo, his knee, his thigh, whatever it has to be to give Real Madrid the lead.
And welcome in. A happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there here tonight. You heard it there. PSG absolutely in the pole position at the Bernabeu today. It was 1-1, 83rd minute on. It's 2 goals, one of them scored by Ronaldo. He'll get credit for the game winner. Blowing a huge opportunity on a day where, during their best times, they did not take chances, and they had a real opportunity to leave the Bernabeu in the pole position heading back to Paris. And guess what? He may not have had the best of moments. He still scores twice, and he is Cristiano Ronaldo. That's 11 goals now in the Champions League for him. So again, a happy Valentine's Day. Tonight, the Valentine's theme is going to be there with all our music. But we want to pose this question to you because it's a day of love. When did you fall in love with the game of soccer? Could have been a specific moment. Could have been an influence from someone else. Could have been a player that you watched. But when did you fall in love with the game of soccer? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So tonight we want to get your calls and we want to hear how you fell in love with the game. And I'm sure there's very conventional ways and I'm sure there's some very non-conventional ways. But it's an opportunity to give your love to somebody that may have passed the game on to you as well. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. We stream at ESPN975.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, or Facebook, Soccer Matters. My love affair with the game, I'm going to tell you how mine occurred. Mine occurred because of the passion, the knowledge of a youth coach. His name was Tom McDonald. 2 weeks ago, I flew up on a Sunday to a memorial for him and his funeral. He passed away. Truly a huge influence on my life, huge influence on the passion I have for soccer. And that's the power of the youth coach. But I fell in love with the game because of a man named Tom McDonald. Parsippany in Kearney, New Jersey. Went to Kearney for the memorial. Room full of guys talking about what this man meant to us. And again, it's a reminder. Youth coaches, I would even go into teachers. Tom McDonald was amazing. He lit a fire under us as little kids. He'd come out to our town 3 times a week, had at least a half-hour drive each way. Coaches during the week. We'd play a ton on our own. We'd create our own practice and training environments, all fun, free play without coaches. But 3 times a week he'd come out. Now, I think about that now in this day and age of paid soccer coaches, and we will talk a little bit about pay-to-play tonight because it is not going away, trust me. But he was so dedicated to us. And he took us into environments, ethnic areas, because he knew that his coaching alone was not going to do it. He had to change the environment. So we played in areas that were very defined. Bayonne would be a lot of kids from Portugal, very Portuguese-type area. Kearney would have the Scottish area, the Irish area. There'd be a German area, but very well-defined. So my love affair with soccer became a reality with Tom McDonald. And when we were little kids, he'd end every practice. He'd shout out at the top of his lungs, and he was about 5'8". He was a great dribbler. He was left-footed. He'd yell out, "It's solo time," which meant 14 little kids would be chasing him over an entire large soccer field, sprawling all over the place, trying to get the ball from him. And when ultimately he let one of us get it, that would be the end of the practice. We'd all be shouting for more, and he knew how to leave us wanting more, so that when we came back as little kids, we'd spill out of the car, and we tried to be the first guy to see him and say hello to him. That's how powerful this guy is, Tom McDonald. So that's how my passion began. How did your passion and love affair with soccer begin? 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, will be on the show tonight. We'll talk about Landon Donovan at León. We'll talk about the Liga MX race. We'll talk about Mexico's group in the World Cup. And we'll also talk about what the heck is going on in Guadalajara, Mexico, with Chivas and Atlas. You heard the interview with Jeff Cameron. It got a lot of run. Jeff Cameron, incredibly candid, took us inside the locker room, took us into places that a lot of players don't in interviews. Obviously, he was able to air it out a bit because he doesn't believe he's going to another World Cup. Jeff Cameron, we've got another 20 fresh minutes with Jeff Cameron tonight. So it's part three with Jeff Cameron. This is Can't Miss Radio. And you may have seen his article in the Players Tribune. 713-780-3776 tonight. Many of you are probably out with the love of your life right now having dinner. 713-780-3776. If you're out and about to head on the big date, give us a call. Tell us where you're headed. And tell us how your love affair with soccer began. Six new Major League Soccer coaches are going to bring new ideas in 2018. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. So a lot to talk about here tonight. The Houston Dynamo in action in Arizona. 1-1 draw with Portland. We saw the biggest piece to take out of that was the right back position, knowing A.J. De La Garza's out. We always know that Adolfo Machado can slide over there with the Dynamo having an influx of center backs, but they have been trying George Malki in the right back position, who's coming back after injury, and Kevin Garcia. Those guys man in the right back position here today. Not a lot to glean out of it. It looks like players in preseason, quite frankly. Very heavy-legged, and, you know, it's what it is. So Real Madrid and PSG. I'm at home watching this, and I'm going, okay, PSG is making me a believer that they could potentially win the Champions League. That is why Neymar was brought there. Big occasion at the Bernabeu. They're living up to the moment. They've got a 1-0 lead. They've created the better chances. Neymar looks dangerous every time he gets the ball. Mbappe came to life more in the second half. But I'll tell you, at 1-0 and at 1-1, I'm looking at their play in the final third, and I'm going, man, you better do something during your best times. You better produce something here. And they never did. And they had tremendous pressure on Real Madrid in this game. They could have scored three or four goals. So it's 1-1, and we get into the 83rd minute, and guess what? I think it's Gareth Bale who whips a cross in. Areola in goal for PSG parries it right towards the thigh of Ronaldo, who scores. He's in the right place at the right time again. He had tied the game up on a penalty kick. So in a matter of minutes, it goes from the perfect result for PSG to an absolute horror show and disaster. And they're going to go back to the second leg down 3-1. I'm not saying with that talent they don't have an opportunity to come back. But it's just incredible how this game and how quickly it can change at the highest levels these days. And quite frankly, Real Madrid, they didn't convince me they can win it all. Liverpool smashes Porto today. Our good sponsors, the Gorgeous Gale, my good friend Peter over there. I'm wondering if they have a roof on that place, because those Liverpool fans probably went nuts. All right, Jose. The question I put out tonight, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. What was the moment of your life when you fell in love with soccer? Tell me.
Mine was the 2002 World Cup. I vaguely remember watching Mexico play in the World Cup. To this day, Jared Borghetti's goal against Italy is my favorite goal of all time. But the moment I think I finally fell in love was the final, the Germany versus Brazil game. I just remember getting up. The game was at like 6, 7 in the morning. I remember waking up really early, waking up my dad so we could watch that game together. And I just remember Ronaldo's hair, how he had most of his hair was bald and he had the one part at the front. And I just remember the disappointment on Oliver Kahn's face after the game was finally over and Germany had lost to Brazil. So that's the moment that I feel like I officially fell in love with soccer.
Yeah, that was a 2002 final. Yeah, Ronaldo had the weird haircut, and there was something happened to him before the game. There was something that came out in the media that was saying he may or may not play. But yeah, 2002, and obviously that was a great World Cup for the United States, and that was Bruce Arena during his good times.
That was when they knocked Mexico out, right? The United States? Yeah. Then
Bruce Arena played Claudio Reyna on the right side.
And they got knocked out by Germany, was it? Who knocked
them
out?
Yes, yes, very controversially as well. And actually, the U.S. played great against Germany, and that was the generation of Landon Donovan, DeMarcus Beasley, a lot of these younger guys that kind of introduced themselves to the world during that World Cup, quite frankly. All right, Jose, I appreciate that. Victor Ariza, who is a great part of our show here. Victor, all right, I'm putting you on the spot. When did you fall in love with the game of soccer? And by the way, if you're out there in the car and you want to let us know when you fell in love with the game of soccer, 713-780-3776.
I got to go just like Jose, the 2002 World Cup. Same thing.
You guys got together before the show to rig this, didn't you?
No, because I'd watched soccer before, but I never really, my parents aren't big soccer fans, so I never got too much into it because of them. But they're both Mexican, so I mean, it kind of runs in the blood when the World Cup is around. You do watch, so as much as they're not sports fans, they tune into the World Cup. And I remember, just like Jose, waking up, it was like 5 a.m. for that World Cup match with Borghetti scoring that goal against Italy. And that was the first soccer match I can kind of think of, point back to, and say that's when I just kind of fell in love with the sports, when I wanted to be a soccer fan.
Yeah, that was a great World Cup.
And then as far as MLS, I guess it was later on, whenever I think about a year before the Dynamo came to town, I was in Mexico, and I was watching highlights. It was Chivas USA, and I remember one other team on Fox Sports in Mexico, and that's why I always say, you know, I always preach, you know, the power of television and having that reach. That's why it's important, because that's how you reach other fans that wouldn't have heard of the sport before.
2002 was great. I was actually calling. That was a World Cup I was calling for ESPN, and of course we weren't over in Korea, Japan. We were doing it off monitor, so we had to get up in the middle of the night and call these games. And the late great Giorgio Canaglia, who I absolutely loved to death, was doing an Italy game with me. I remember this, and I remember looking over and he was asleep, and I took the back of my hand and kind of poked him, woke him up. I was waving to the producer, going, "Hey, bring some coffee in for Giorgio," but he was unbelievable. He watched every single game, every minute of every game during our time in Bristol, Connecticut, where we did that. All right, so we want to know, when did you fall in love with soccer? 713-780-3776. Esteemed producer Jose Partida, he says it's the 2002 World Cup, and as well as Victor Ariza saying it was the 2002 World Cup. Rudy, you're up. When did you fall in love with soccer, Rudy?
I would say it was early 2000s. Started playing soccer games with my friends, and it just got me really into the sport. You know, I already knew about World Cups and national teams, but playing the game with them exposed me to club teams and started to realize, hey, a lot of these players play for these particular clubs. You know, the top players play for, you know, Real Madrid, Manchester United. And it also exposed me to other players that, you know, weren't quote-unquote big names. You know, everybody knew about Beckham, you know, the original Ronaldo, all of those guys. But it exposed me to other players who had good quality and just started following them. And around that time, they started showing more and more in the U.S., here in the U.S., started showing more games, was able to watch it more, and just fell in love throughout the 2002 and the 2006 World Cup. And then now I'm hooked.
So the actual playing of the game, though, was really the thing that got you off and running.
Absolutely, because it led me to appreciate the beauty of the sport and how difficult it is to score and the small nuances that go along with the game. And, you know, I didn't play it athletically just because I didn't grow up playing soccer. You know, my family wasn't big into it. The guys that got me into playing the game, they all played, you know, in high school. So they were already, you know, all into it. But me playing along with them and learning just really helped and got me into it. Now I love watching it, and I can view tactics a lot better and understand more of what's going on. And then now, of course, I watch all the World Cups, love Champions League, you know, as much as I can.
Yeah, I love that, Rudy. So playing the game, your friends introduced you. That's how you got involved. Rudy, thank you very much for the phone call.
All right, you're welcome, man.
All right, so 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. How did you fall in love with soccer? So Rudy says it's the actual playing of the game. I had some friends introduce them to it, and it just snowballed from there. Victor and Jose, both of them said it was a 2002 World Cup that had the big impression on them that got them into the game. Let's go to Van. Van, what's on your mind, Dan? Tell us how you fell in love with the game.
Actually, it started. I was a regular fan watching the World Cup and whatnot. Throughout 2002, 2006. And so on. But I didn't really get into it because I really didn't understand how the game was played up until I started playing the actual video game, FIFA.
Yeah.
That was about 2014. And from then on, 2015 came around. I was actually bought season tickets straight off the bat for the Dynamos and understood how the game was played and really respected it a lot more so than any other sport at that time because I'm like, man, these guys are working hard. I'm like harder than anything else, and people don't give them enough credit for how hard they work. Because you're playing all positions, regardless if you're a midfielder or you're in the backfield, you're a forward, you're still playing most of all everything from defense to offense. But from playing FIFA, it taught me the stars and everything else, and also gave me some new teams to look at as far as international teams like Juventus. From playing FIFA, I am now a big Juventus fan. And so with that, I'm like, that, you know, I actually pushed the game upon my family and my friends. And from there, they also understand how the game is played. I mean, from all the rules and whatnot. So that was my starting point of the actual love from coming from like a regular, you know, just watching on TV during the World Cup.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for that. I was waiting who was going to be the first to say it was video games because video games have had a huge influence on young people and getting them connected to soccer and learning about players. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy, when did you fall in love with soccer, Jeremy?
Man, Glenn, I don't know if it was an exact. It's kind of like how you just always know you've loved your parents. I mean, ever since I was playing when I was four, I've always kind of loved it. But there's been a few moments that really just kind of hit me like, this is it right here. I mean, there was a time in high school where I was playing in a league where I was the only player that didn't speak Spanish. And at first it was just like complete different culture and environment. And just, you know, it was fun, but I just didn't feel as fun. And then halfway through the season, when I kind of really got accepted, I mean, it was just, here's a sport that just brings people together no matter what. I mean, as long as you love the game, they love you and you can love each other. That's probably one of the bigger moments. Other things, when I moved to Houston in East Texas, we couldn't even get really soccer on TV that much. And then I went to my first Dynamo game. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Just the supporter section and just everybody there. I've met friends since then, you know, 10 years ago now, they're some of my best friends that, you know, we come from walks of life that we wouldn't meet in every other day. We wouldn't meet and be friends in any other situation except for just being love of the game. Then of course there was the World Cup. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, then of course there was a World Cup in South Africa. And as much as like, when Landon Donovan scored against Algeria, as amazing as that was for the love of game, but it was more of just being surrounded by just people from every other country that it was like, you know, here, I don't want to say it's not the main sport. So if you're a fan here, you're not going to get to watch soccer typically on the big TV at the restaurant. It's going to be on the little small TV.
Oh, that's bull. You got to get in there and fight for your right to watch the game on those screens. There's a lot of very soccer-friendly bars and pubs, and believe me, there's going to be a few this summer that will all of a sudden become very soccer-friendly. Because there's going to be a town full of people spilling into bars. But I know what you're saying. Yeah. That's a great, great piece of testimony. Great piece of testimony to the Dynamo and their return of professional soccer in 2006 because people were ready for it. And you're right. It brought all different types of people together. And that's the beauty of the game of soccer. Thank you very much for that one, Jeremy. Let's go to Derek. Derek, how did you fall in love with soccer?
Oh, well, it was about 3 years ago. Some friends of mine from church actually took me to a Dynamo game, and they'd heard me talking about how I didn't like soccer. So they said, why don't you come watch a game? And I tell you what, being in the stadium, surrounded by the fans, we were sitting next to the supporter section, so the singing and the chanting, and just that vibrant kind of excitement that was around the crowd really just kind of sucked me in. And from there, I've become the guy who shows up early at the sports bar on Saturday mornings to make them turn one of the TVs to the Premier League and kind of gets under everybody else's skin. So
I'll send you to two places where you won't get any under anybody's skin. The King's Court down by the stadium, they'll love you in there. You can go to the Gorgeous Gale in West University. They'll love you in there, and you won't get on under anybody's skin asking for the Premier League because it will be on when you get there. But, Derek, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it very much. Good testimony.
All right.
And again, a reminder. Okay, so what have we just heard the last two calls? We've heard two guys in Victor and Jose got introduced via a World Cup. Another guy got introduced via playing. I mentioned I got introduced in a very big way because of my youth coach and the huge influence he had on me, Tom McDonald. If not for him, I'm not even involved probably, although my brother did get drafted professionally as a goalkeeper in the North American Soccer League with Washington. And then the last two callers, Dynamo, and that is getting people to the live experience, getting them into the stadium. So that's a big key. Get people to the stadium, good product on the field that entertains, good vibe, good environment, good game day operations. Getting people to the live game is important. And for all of those that watch on the weekends and say, oh, you know, I just watch my team and I don't want to go out to the live game, go out to the live game. You're not committing a sin against the team that you support, number one. You could be a fan of Rayados or Tigres or Real Madrid. You could be a fan of both. But it's the live element. It's the connection. It's being around people. People have met at Dynamo games and gotten married, okay? I mean, relationships have begun, and relationships have probably broken up. I have to be fair on Valentine's Day. You got that song, Heartbreaker? I need that one. Play me Heartbreaker going to break here, and while you cue that one up, I'm going to just give you a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm, also for people that have been heartbroken. Sometimes you need a law firm, too. A moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. They're bilingual. By the way, John Daspit played soccer out in the Bear Creek area growing up. Bear Creek Park, big hotbed. Nice piece on HoustonDynamo.com of Arturo Alvarez. Whether you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm's going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. 713-322-HURT, or go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. Well, I was thinking about Heartbreaker by the Rolling Stones, but Led Zeppelin's a good mistake. You know, it's a good mistake.
At least it's a good one.
Yeah. We can play the other one as well. You can also give us your tips on Valentine's Day music. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Again, the question I'm putting out there is, when did you fall in love with soccer? 713-780-3776. We'll take a break.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Davis. Kane. Tatum in front through Wagner.
Vertonghen. Here's Dele Alli. Now Harry Kane. Harry Kane's in. He's got around Gianluigi Buffon.
What a battle back from Spurs. Later on, Carlsberg's going to bring you the team of the week. I'll talk a little bit more about Tottenham Hotspur. Right now, what is it that made you fall in love with the game of soccer? 713-780-3776. We're getting a lot of people texting in. We're getting a lot of people calling in. We want to hear from you tonight why and when you fell in love with the game. It could have been your youth coach. It could have been just going out and playing the game because you're introduced by a friend. Could be video games. Video games real. World Cups are leading the way with influence, but a lot going on. Just got a nice message from John Lignos, who played for the Jacksonville T-Men back in my day. Says, happy Valentine's Day. My awesomeness, wonderful, loving soccer, solid defender, Glenn Davis. Love you, my brother. Full golara and a bunch of hearts. Great guy, John Lignos. He was a good player. Also had a couple of games with the national team, too. He played for the Jacksonville T-Men in the NASL, played in the ASL, played in the USL, you name it. John Lignos was an excellent outside back. You may remember that name. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go to Steve. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. Yeah, for me, it was way back in the day, probably around 1984, freshman in high school, playing for the first time and going to Chicago Sting indoor games and just being at the old Chicago Stadium, jam-packed. The rafters would actually physically shake. And for me personally, one player, a goalkeeper named Alan Mayer, who wore a helmet back in the day because he played with such reckless abandon. And actually, when I wrote to him, he was the first professional player that ever responded to me. So I think just had a personal connection with the game straight away from that day.
By the way, Alan Mayer is a great guy. I know Alan Mayer. He was a goalkeeper, I believe, at James Madison University before he got drafted. He was around my brother's time. He was an excellent goalkeeper. Played for the San Diego Sockers as well. But an interesting footnote here. In Houston, the general manager of some of those great Willie Roy teams lives in Houston and was the general manager of the Houston Dynamos with an S in the 80s, which is the reason I came to Houston. His name is Jim Walker. He's still working with kids in the youth game with the Cyfair Dynamo Soccer Club, which is headed up by Olivier Finidori. They always do a kick cancer event out there each and every year. So those Chicago Sting teams had some incredible players. Arno Steffenhagen, Karl-Heinz Granitza, they were great teams. We appreciate that phone call. That's a beauty. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. So that was Steve. Good one from Steve. This is Dre. Dre, what do you got?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
How you doing, Dre?
Hey, not too bad. I was just rehashing the past and thinking about 1986. I was in Mexico with some of my relatives down there, and that's when I fell in love with soccer, man, watching the World Cup in Mexico.
Wow, 86, you're going all the way back, and that was a great World Cup down there, and that was Diego Maradona's World Cup. That was the hand of God, I believe. And did you go to any of the games live, or were you watching them at home?
Well, unfortunately, I was only 12 at the time, and my parents were still here in the States, so we got dropped off. But just watching almost every single game with my cousins and just yelling at the TV all day, goal! And, you know, it was unforgettable.
It's awesome, isn't it? And by the way, so I guess you're getting primed for this summer in Russia, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, listen, Dre.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, the United States didn't make it. You know, I do love both teams. You know, I do love the Mexican side and the United States as well. But to wish the States would have made it with us.
Well, we have a lot of time to kind of try to improve some things, and hopefully we're going to be there the next time. But yeah, that was a big blow. It's going to be tough, and I think it's a big blow from a lot of perspectives, Dre, because you know, obviously sponsorship dollars, but you know, every 4 years you get this magical thing called the World Cup, and you have to be patient for it to come around. There's these incredibly grueling qualification processes that occur. To get there is huge for some countries. Then to go on the big stage is even bigger. We find out about new soccer players, new stars emerge, new teams emerge. We get surprised. And to not be a part of the big dance is tough. So you know what I'm going to say on Valentine's Day? There are going to be an awful lot of American males who are going to be fans of Brazil, Argentina, and Colombia because they love having a good time, and
right.
The guys are going to follow those ladies, okay, when it comes to picking bars to watch games this summer, okay? And I'll take that one to the bank, trust me.
Yes, sir, yeah. It's just magical being in it, and having a one generation miss the World Cup is, I think it's a big loss for the youth of America to not witness this event coming up.
Yeah, it's tough, but you know what? It's still going to go on. Thank you, Dre. We appreciate that call from Dre. So Dre says 1986 World Cup. So World Cup has been the most influential event and moment for most people. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. When did you fall in love with soccer? And remember, tonight I've got Tom Marshall of ESPN FC coming up tonight. Also, more fresh stuff. I'm not re-airing something that we aired last week. This is more fresh, 20 minutes of fresh stuff from Stoke defender and U.S. national team defender Jeff Cameron. By the way, if the U.S. had qualified for this World Cup, remember this. There would be so much talk around Christian Pulisic as one of the biggest young breaking out world stars. Think of all that attention U.S. soccer would have gotten. That would have made us all proud as U.S. soccer people. I do believe with Carlos Cordero and the election over, I do believe that we are, it's going to be positive going forward. I know everybody says, oh, it's establishment, but we have to give the guy a chance. We have to hold him to the fire. We have to respect the process. Of course, it was Kathy Carter or Cordero. Dan Flynn ultimately is going to step down from U.S. soccer, who's the Secretary General. But Cordero has said he's going to put two GMs in place. We don't know what the exact job definition is. But he made a pretty bold statement saying, look, I'm not going to try to be basically a Sunil Gulati where I'm going to be, you know, trying to do both. I'm going to be the soccer guy, and I'm also going to be the business guy. He's going to create a GM for either for each national team, for both the men and women. 713-780-3776. When did you fall in love with soccer? Let's go to Juan. Juan, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Juan is a first-time caller.
Hey, thanks, Juan. We appreciate that. That's a big goal. We appreciate you tuning in and calling in. What's on your mind? Tell us when you fell in love with soccer.
The first time I fell in soccer was that World Cup in France, 98, where Matador Hernandez made the second goal to tie with, I think it was Holland and Netherlands.
Luis Hernandez.
Yes, and Luis Hernandez made that goal, and I just remember getting up, and I was screaming, you know. I ran out the house and went to my neighbor's house, and we were just all jumping up and down because they tied the game. That's when I became in love with the game.
Luis Hernandez was an exciting player for Mexico. I don't think there's any question. That was a great World Cup 98. France hosted it. France won it. Everybody was on the Champs-Élysées and around the Eiffel Tower after they won it. They had that crazy, crazy celebration. It was pretty unbelievable. Thank you very much, Juan. Let's go to Jason. Jason, when did you fall in love with soccer?
The 1994 World Cup in the United States. The first game was when the United States upset Colombia. I know that game had a bad outcome for that Colombian defender, but it was mainly watching Romario and Bebeto of Brazil and how they could just open up the defense like a hot knife through butter. I've never seen anything like it.
Boy, that was a great pairing, Romario and Bebeto. Romario, I'll never forget, because I was at that World Cup final behind the goal where they took the penalties against Italy. Every time Romario got the ball, he was as direct as could be, running at people, taking people on. And he was built so low to the ground. He was so powerful. You couldn't knock him off the ball. Unbelievable. And remember, that Brazil team that won that World Cup, guess who was on the bench as an 18-year-old just brought there to take the experience in?
Ronaldo.
Exactly. And that's why you need to call the show more often, because you know the game. We appreciate that one. 94 World Cup. Good one. I love it. Let's go to AY. What's on your mind, AY? Tell us how you fell in love with soccer, AY.
Being from Nigeria, it's like I've always been in love with soccer because it's the number one sport in my country. So, but I do remember the first World Cup I did follow. That was in 1982, Spain 82. Of course, soccer in my country is number one. It's called football. But in 1982 World Cup, I could remember the Brazilian team. That was the best Brazilian team ever. We did not win the World Cup. They were so good.
Socrates on that team? Socrates was on that team?
Socrates was on that team.
Yeah.
Edda was on that team.
Yeah, that was a crazy team.
That was a very good one. So I've been in love with soccer ever since. So I can't say a particular year. I'm 47, so that makes me, let's say, since I knew sports, so I've been in love with soccer, but that 82 World Cup, that was still the most memorable World Cup for me. Then, of course, in 1994, when Nigeria first qualified for the World Cup, but 1982, that's when I could say yes. Maybe 1980, 81, 82, that's when I fell in love. That's when I became a soccer buff, then put it that way.
Well, you know, and you live in Houston, obviously, I think, right? Are you in the Houston area?
I've seen you. I've come across you before. We've met someone once or twice.
Yeah. So we have such a great Nigerian population that absolutely, like you just said, Super Eagles fans, loves the sport. We all remember some of the great players, Amokachi, J.J. Okocha. I mean, we can go on and on. Kanu. We can go on and on. I wonder why. Can you tell me real quick? Do you have any idea why Nigerian fans don't show up for Major League Soccer quite as much? The Houston Dynamo here.
Yeah, number one, you see, is just the timing. There's no really in the Houston Dynamo. There are no real big names. But if you notice, the day when a big name, if Drogba, for example, comes to the stadium, you will see a lot of Africans there, but there are really no big names. And most of us prefer watching the Premiership on TV or Champions League than to watch MLS. That's just the bottom line. So, for example, you go to bars. If you go to Richmond Arms, you see a lot of Africans there.
Yeah.
Or you go to one of these bars, or go to any of the bars in Southwest, there are a lot of Africans that follow soccer.
Oh, love Nigerians, Cameroonians, right? Oh, unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, you can guess
so we
what?
We follow soccer a lot. We might not follow the local league, that's MLS, but I guarantee you, when it comes to the EPL, that's the English Premiership,
yeah.
When it comes to the UEFA Champions League, there's a big following. There's a big following.
Well,
for example, I know I'm not going to work on Tuesday because I'll be watching the Barcelona-Chelsea game live.
I heard every Tuesday you kind of get a touch of the flu or something. listen,
I'm already calling off on that's already guaranteed.
That's when you got to keep those sick days. Listen, thank you so much. We love Nigerian soccer and that passion. We'd love to see it down at BBVA Compass Stadium. And the Super Eagles are booked kind of historically in Group D in Russia with Argentina. And Iceland and Croatia. So we'll be watching the Super Eagles. They always put on a great show, and so do their fans. Thank you for calling.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, that's awesome. I love the Nigerian community here in Houston. All right, let's keep it going. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. When did you fall in love with soccer? Right now, the pole position is being held by the influence of World Cups. We've gone all the way back to the 82 World Cup in Spain, the 86 World Cup in Mexico. So let's see when Ian fell in love with soccer. Ian, the floor is yours.
Yeah. So I actually had a friend that from Baltimore, and he lost the Colts in 84. And so he had to resort to some kind of soccer, and not having national TV, we didn't really know what Premier League was when started in, 92. And he hung on to Blackburn Rovers, and I remember how cool that was, as that team started to build up. And we actually made a trip over to England and saw a game that year, and I was just a kid, so I don't even remember players, but I just remember being at a small stadium and just seeing that enthusiasm, and it was unlike anything you'd ever seen in the States. And then Blackburn won that in 95, and that ended up being one of the only other teams outside the, Big Five that ever won. It was pretty incredible.
Won a Premier League title. Absolutely. Good stuff. We appreciate that one. Ian, thank you very much. I was expecting a British accent.
I'm a Crystal Palace fan now, so still staying with the subalternated groups.
You know, you're a pretty unique guy. Thank you very much for calling in and listening to the show, Ian. We appreciate it. We need guys like you.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's keep it going. Valentine's Day. Who do we have now, Jose? Let's go to Matt. Matt, tell us what... was the moment when you fell in love with soccer. How are you, Matt?
Good. I'm a fellow Jersey guy, Glenn.
Oh, don't I've hid that since I arrived here in the 80s, so now it's out. No, I'm very proud of being a Jersey guy, Matt. Where are you from in New Jersey?
Berkeley Heights.
Oh, gosh, you're right next to me. I grew up in Chatham Township.
There you go. Not Borough Township, right?
Absolutely. Make that distinction. Not Chatham Borough. We were the Gladiators, not the Eskies.
Hey,
can you imagine New Jersey high schools being named after Gladiators and Eskimos?
Yeah.
They were cool names.
I fell in love when Pele came over. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You and me alike.
Playing in Giant Stadium.
Playing in Giant Stadium, but remember where his first game was. His first game
was Yankee Stadium.
No, Randall's Island. The field was so bad they had to spray paint the field. There were people on the freeway above pulling over and standing looking down at Randall's Island, which is near Manhattan. That's where his first ever game was, and I think it was against the Dallas Tornado, if I remember correctly. And Kyle Rote Jr. may have even been in that game. I'm not sure. But fantastic moment. I remember that as a kid. It then did transition, you're correct, to Yankee Stadium. And then ultimately it went to the Meadowlands where it blew up even more. But, man, that's a great memory right there.
Yeah.
Anything else, Matt?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much,
Matt. I've been listening to you, and I go, oh, my God, there's another Jersey guy. I got to call in and you know, where soccer was born in this country.
Well, there was certainly a lot of ethnic groups that came over there and went through Ellis Island and brought the game that they loved. I don't think there's any question. And when I was growing up as a kid, you know, real soccer was played in ethnic areas. But
yep,
you know,
Kearney
played a lot of games in Kearney. My youth coach was from Kearney. Just a lot of great places that had ethnic pockets, and that's where the real soccer was played. Matt, thank you very much, fellow New Jerseyan. This may shake a bunch of other Jersey people out of the bushes here.
Take it easy.
All right, thank you, Matt. 713-780-3776. We're coming back with more. We're going to take a quick break here. Before we go to break, I want to remind you about the King's Court. King's Court is right near the stadium. Go down there, say hello to Jay. It's also the home of the Houston Reds, Tom Clare, and that supporters group for Manchester United, the Chelsea supporters group, the Bayou City Blues are down there. Real Madrid has been down there as well. There's 13 TVs there, giant big screens. They show the Premier League, they show La Liga, they show the Champions League like they did today, the Bundesliga. The Dynamo will be on the Cube this year, by the way, with the wonderful Eddie Robinson. He'll be a part of those broadcasts as well as the beautiful and talented Cindy Bourbano. So some fun things in store this year for Dynamo on TV. 24 taps at the King's Court. Get over to the King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck. Say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTX.com. And we're going to give you a little Wilson Sisters heart going to break.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Caterers?
Setting up.
DJ?
Spinning oldies all night.
Gift?
Their favorite jazz album, signed.
Total party cost?
$550. Just send me your half with Zelle.
Oh, Zelle. That's already at my Wells Fargo mobile app. Sending money now.
Great. Mom and Dad's 25th anniversary is going to be perfect.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, DaspitLaw.com, John Daspit. They're going to treat every case like it's your own, like it's his own. They'll work for you 24/7. Daspit Law Firm, they're taking a personalized approach. Car accidents, motorcycle, oil field, plant refinery. Daspit Law Firm. Call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-322-4878. Bilingual, 713-322-HURT. Also, Kings Court TX, right downtown near the Dynamo Stadium. Kings Court is a great pub. It's the real pub. It's the one you want to get to. It is down by the stadium. 13 TVs, giant big screen. They cover all the games, Champions League, Bundesliga, Dynamo. Get in there, say hello to Jay. They've got 24 taps, extensive spirits, great pub food. I like the butter chicken and curry. Go say hi to Jay at King's Court, KingsCourtTX.com. And also, if you're watching on Facebook, we have Apsley Taylors, APSLEY, from Hong Kong. So, interestingly enough, they're going to be a sponsor of our show and a sponsor of these gorgeous custom suits that I have. So our thanks to Arshad. Was over in Hong Kong, did the whole thing where I got fitted and got some amazing suits. Apsley Taylors, APSLEY, and you'll hear a little bit more about them throughout the year. All right, 713-780-3776. We've been talking about how you fell in love with soccer. There's also a number of different things going on and we didn't get to tonight. I do want to say a couple of quick things here before we have to hit another break at the top of the hour. We've got the Jeff Cameron interview as well as Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. You're not going to want to miss these. Eric Winalda and Kyle Martino, especially because they had bigger platforms on social media, they had a huge influence in this election. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that wanted to see an ex-player involved. But Kyle and Eric deserve a lot of credit because they stirred the pot. They did some healthy shaming. They brought attention to the issue. They were critical of U.S. soccer. And they brought a tremendously healthy pressure. And they brought some theater to the whole thing. and bringing people to the theater and getting them to listen and to think about the issues at hand is what they did. So they had a very, very big part of it. So my congratulations to Eric and Kyle Martino for being a part of it, and the other candidates as well. But I would say those two because they've gotten a bigger platform. Had a wonderful trip down to the Texas Children's Hospital. Chad Riley, former youth product here in Houston, is now the head coach at Notre Dame. He leaves from Dartmouth, played on the fields at Bear Creek Park. Also, Houston Sports Award, unbelievable night down there. Never has this much Houston athletic talent been under one roof. Was so pleased and excited to be a part of that and privileged, quite frankly. FC Bayern and FC Dallas partnership, I posed something about that. I said the Dynamo should get one going with Tigres and Rayados. They've already done deals with Rayados, with Albert Elise. It would be perfect in a lot of ways. Certainly from a marketing and promotion standpoint, trying to gain some allegiance with those fans who are here in Houston. Tons of Tigres and Rayados fans here. I understand. The Dynamo would have to sell to them to become involved, but there is so much going on in the world of football in Monterrey, Mexico. And I hear people saying, oh, well, you know, what about Dortmund? Folks, location, location, location. Think about our demographics here. FC Dallas has aligned with Bayern Munich, and they've already had players over there. Pretty interesting. This seems to be a real partnership, FC Dallas and Bayern Munich. So, some things to think about. We will take a break. As we go to break here, again, a quick word now for the King's Court. We remind you it's right by the stadium. Go down there, say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. They show all the leagues, 13 TVs, big screen, KingsCourtTX.com. Go down there, say hello to Jay. Hang out with all the great supporters groups of many teams. Wonderful, real pub place to watch the game. So get down there. We'll continue the show here. We'll take a break. It's a Carlsberg break. My thanks to theflathouston.com, the gorgeous Gale, and Kings Court TX, and our presenting sponsors. Yes, our presenting sponsors, the Daspit Law Firm. Also, thanks to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture and Liberty Kitchen. We'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.